Worthy is the Lamb that was slain on the cross. Worthy are you, Lamb. Worthy are you, Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain on the cross. Worthy are you, Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain on the cross. Worthy are you, Lamb.
Sits on the throne.
Worthy is the Lamb
that sits on the throne.
That sits on the throne.
Worthy are you, Lamb. Worthy are you, Lamb. Worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb
that now sits, that sits on the throne. Worthy are you, Lamb of God. Worthy, worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb
that sits on the throne. Amen.
Father, I live to worship you. Hey, hey, Father, I live to worship you. We can sing all we want, we can dance all we want, we can bow all we want, but it won't be enough. It won't be enough for the King of all the earth. It won't be enough for the one who sits on the throne, yet he humbled himself to become like man that he might save us. It won't be enough for the one who gave us the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It won't be enough for the Almighty God who decides to call us friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for today. And thank you for this moment. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for everybody online. Thank you for your word that makes all the difference in our lives. Thank you because knowing you actually makes all the difference in our lives. And thank you for the strength that we receive when we wait upon you. Lord, this morning I yield myself to you that I might speak as your mouthpiece, ministers of a power that can come from only you. Thank you for accuracy in the spirit. Thank you because none of us returns the same. Because you said when we behold your glory in the word, we are transformed into the same image. We give you glory and praise ahead for that which you will do even through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'll also seize the opportunity to say Happy Mother's Day to all Mothering Sunday to all the women to thank you for all that you do. There's so much you do. Amen. And like somebody said, without the women, the world would be boring. I totally agree with you because men are boring. Yes, men are very boring. Yes, when you ask a man, how was your day? Fine. Abby? It was fine. When you ask a woman, how was your day? She starts off by telling you, you know what? Oh, if I woke up a little later than usual, I was looking for my red shoe, but I didn't find it. So I looked for the purple shoe instead. And in fact, my hair, you know, I didn't like, so I did it all back. And when I came out, you know, I mean, that's very nice, isn't it? You have a story. Amen. So if I had to only interact with men, how you did? Fine. I mean, that's all the conversation there is going to be. Amen. Hallelujah. And men, don't worry. Somebody said, don't worry about understanding. For those who are married, understanding your wives. You know, say men worry about that all the time. You know, I don't understand. I don't understand this woman. They say, you cannot understand something that was created when you were sleeping. Are we? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I started off last week. Talking about don't stop doing the seven things now. Don't stop doing these seven things now. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 3, another text of ours was Matthew 24, but I'm not going to read Matthew 24 verses 1 to 13. That scripture, just like this one, is just to establish one fact. And that is that in the last days, things will be difficult. They're already difficult. But things will be difficult, so that's already predicted. And we shouldn't get, you know, surprised. We shouldn't be shocked about the difficulty. What we need to do is reassure ourselves about what God's word says, even in the now. Can I have an amen? One of the simple ways that I have understood faith is that whether things are working or they don't seem to be working, go back to God's word and you find out that is a constant. Can I have an amen? You found out that it hasn't changed, okay? If you have any revised version that has changed critical things, then throw it away. You know that somebody is trying to manipulate you, okay? But stay with what God's word has said. So we're believing God for a child years ago, and when we I mean, my wife went for a scan, you know, I haven't believed, of course, none that she had taken in. When they did the scan, they said they could not find a heartbeat, you know, meaning basically this is a fluke or the child was dead. You know, this was very early in the pregnancy. And when she told me, I went back to God's word and I opened it again. And it says, your children will surround your table like olive plants. Hallelujah. That's the scripture I'd been looking at, believing God with. So when she said, this is what they said, in fact, there's a translation of that in Psalm 128 that says that your children will be like olive plants around your table. It says, vigorous and healthy. Vigorous and healthy. So when he says an unhealthy child and probably even dead, I went back, I opened that scripture again, and he still said, they'll be like olive plants, vigorous and healthy. I said, well, Lord, thank you, because it has not changed. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And of course, that child turned out to be a bouncing baby boy, as it were. By the following week, she went again to the hospital, went again to repeat the scan. And another doctor at the place did it. And he kept asking, I said, are you sure they said they didn't see this last week? Are you sure they said they didn't? So meaning that he was thinking, no. What I'm saying now is not because the pregnancy is older, but that this thing should have been seen by that person last week. The heartbeat I'm seeing should have been there. If this person couldn't have missed it last week. So however you want to interpret it, I interpret it as a miracle. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. He said, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men, now he's telling us why, okay? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, that is proud, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. There's so much I can say, and maybe some other time, God permitting, we'll just stay on this scripture and just teach from this scripture alone. But the key thing that I was pointing out last week was that it says, know this. Okay, know this, meaning have a deep knowledge of this. Be convinced about this, that in the last days, perilous, the word perilous means dangerous. The word perilous means difficult. So know this, that difficult times will come. All the remaining things he said, he gave us certain reasons why those difficult times will come. So for all I care, I hope that you are not one of those people that are making times difficult for all of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if any of those things he puts in there describes you, then you are one of those people causing us problems. If you are one of the boasters, if you are one of the haughty, if you are one of the stubborn, if you are one of the people without self-control, then if you are one of the traitors, then you are one of the reasons why things are difficult as they are. The last verse that I read also, just to mention and put aside, is the fact that he said they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I think that's very critical. But there are a lot of people with the religious disposition, but the life-transforming power of working with God is denied by them. I'm not talking about miracle-working power alone, but just the total life-transforming power. They don't believe in that. You know, people that say, when you tell them this is what the Bible says, only Bible alone, no. It's not Bible we're talking about now. Bible say forgive, they say, leave that one alone. Somebody said once, he was having trouble with his wife. And he was very upset with his wife, you know. And God said to him, you know, you need to love your wife. He said, Jesus, very easy for you to say. You didn't have a wife. Are you still there? So there are people who just push aside whatever the Bible commands, whatever the Bible instructs. There are people who are denying the power thereof. Because if we will believe in the word, if we believe in the gospel, then it will change all of us, and ultimately change the people around us. Can I have an amen? But when times are hard, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. So this will be a second text, overall text for today. When times are hard, there is a tendency that in difficult times, you want to stop certain things. And it's okay to stop some things. I was thinking to myself how many times I'd said to myself as I, you know, went around town, I feel like just buying this snack or buying that snack. And I said to myself, why? Why? Even if you did it before, you were doing it before, this is not the time to do that. There's a whole lot more to do with money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there are things that you can and you should stop. So you can say, I take too many bottles of Coke or too many bottles of soft drinks. I need to reduce that. That is great because times are hard. Amen. Because if you put together what each one costs, you know, when I first entered the university, I wasn't used to eating outside. I wasn't used to eating outside the house. So, I mean, not buka or anything. I wasn't used to any of that. I can eat in a party, but not that you went with buka. I can't eat. So, when I was there, I wasn't cooking in the hostel. So, hunger. Hunger was really hitting me hard. So, you know what I was eating? I would eat biscuit and I eat bread. And I'll end up drinking about 8 bottles of soft drink a day. So one day, I thought to myself, you are dying slowly. You know, you have to fix this with your faith. You know, whatever you're afraid of in that book for real good food, better kill that thing and eat proper food. Instead of this Coca-Cola that you are drinking or this candy that you are drinking and this bread that you are eating and this biscuit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you know what? The truth of the matter is this. I was probably spending more money than somebody who was eating real food. Not even cooking, buying food, proper food. I was spending more money than they were spending. Are you there? So yes, these are the times when you can cut certain things off. But there are certain things that you'll also want to react. And out of anger, out of fear, out of discouragement, there are certain things that you may want to not do. But you have to continue doing them. Are you with me? Galatians 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, and let us not grow weary. Weary means tired. While doing good. He said, for in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So don't grow weary of doing good. For in due season. Can I hear you say due season? Because there's always a season. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's always going to come a season when things will come your way, when there will be a harvest. But if you are already tired and you gave up before the season of the bountiful will come again, then you will lose out. Believe it or not, the season of plenty is still coming back to this land. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you cannot grow weary. In fact, the New Living Translation says, so let's not get tired. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. At just the right time, we will reap the harvest of blessing if we don't give up. One of the biggest things we need to tell people, you know, in this day and age also, is the consistency, the power of consistency. The fact that you do things and you keep doing them. And you keep doing them. Of course, having known that this is the right thing I'm supposed to be doing, you do it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, and it's going to yield to you someday. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are too many people who have gone from one thing to the other, one business to the other, one this to the other. By the time people are beginning to know, I'm beginning to want to make a reference and say, go to that person, he does this. He gets there and says, I don't do it anymore. So what do you now do? I now do. Then you start building all over again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, are you there? I was talking to somebody yesterday and said, you know, she came from the north to Lagos. She said, but now, I mean, as siblings, family, everybody thought, look, why are you in Lagos? Why don't you go to Abuja? She said, but I thought to myself, I have spent a few years now. I'm beginning to build a business here and a reputation. Now people are referring things to me. If I go, I have to start again. She said, and I don't think I should be starting again. I think that where I am now, I'm beginning to pick up on things. People now know me for what I do. Is it Gen Z now? Gen Z has problem. You know, so just jumping and jumping and jumping everywhere will not help you. Do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap. I think it's Proverbs, is it 26:20? That says every man proclaims his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? A faithful man is somebody who is known for being faithful to whatever task has been committed into his hand. A faithful man who can find. Because it means that what everybody is looking for is the faithful man. Are you still there? And we began last week by saying that of the seven things I mentioned, three. I said number one, don't stop thanking God. Don't stop thanking God. Whatever, no matter how bad you think things are, they could be much worse than they are now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It could be much worse than it is now. So thank God for what you have. You know, one of the things I tell people also is this, that scripture that tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. I don't think we have drilled deep into that scripture enough to understand it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the reason why people don't thank God is because they are not contented. You are busy thinking about what you don't have instead of what you have. That's what it means. And when the Bible tells you that godliness with contentment, so you're a godly person, and then you have contentment on top of it. He didn't say it's gain. He said it's great gain. Great gain because many people don't have it, and that's the root of all their problems. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? And don't think to yourself that, oh, if only I was a millionaire, me too, I will have contentment. It's not true. It's not true. There are people that are never satisfied. He's a millionaire, but he sees somebody who is a multi-millionaire. And so he's not happy. He tells himself, I'm a failure. He tells himself, I'm not doing well. Because somebody is a multi-millionaire, I'm only a millionaire. Are you there? We're not talking about complacency, where you don't want more, you are not believing God for more. No. But we are saying that on the way to where you are going, celebrate where you are. Are you hearing me? Thank God for where you are. Thank God that you still have something. Thank God that you are still alive. Hallelujah. Number two, we said don't stop giving. Again, when times are difficult, you say to yourself, I won't give. I won't give. So you don't give anything to anybody anymore. You cut it all off. I'm not giving to anybody. But if the laws of sowing and reaping are true, then what you have done by not giving is that you have also ensured that you will not have a harvest time in the future. Remember, don't grow weary, because in due season. So when the harvest season comes, there will be nothing to harvest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So in the midst of a difficulty, in the midst of a tough times, still do your giving. Hallelujah. Still give to people. Still give the tithe. Still give. Do what you always have done. Hallelujah. Because if you are not planting, then you are not going to reap. Amen. Somebody once said that if what you have is not enough, then it is not your harvest. It must be your seed. So if what you have is not enough for you anyway, then it can't be the harvest you are looking for. Rather, see it as a seed. How can I use this and be a blessing? Number three, we talked about investing. And it's not just investing financially in things, but we're talking about investing in yourself. You know, sometimes you can say to yourself, you know what, all these things I'm doing now, it's not working out and all of that. Maybe this is the time now to take a break and go and take that course that you wanted to take all along, but you were too busy to get the course done. Do you understand what I'm saying? So maybe this is the time to say, okay, you know what, all these things is not working, so let me just pause there and take some time to go and learn that other thing. And what that does for you is that you have invested in yourself. It prepares you for when the due season, when another season comes along, you are better prepared to maximize that season. Before, you were too busy. You were too busy doing this, doing that, doing this, having business meetings, running up and down. But if things cease, you know, in 2020 when we had COVID and people were stuck in the house, so no going, no business, no running around, no this, no that. I know a number of people who sat down and took online courses. They just did online courses. They said, now I'm at home. Abi, now I can't go anywhere. Before, I used to go from 4 a.m. I come back at 10 p.m. I would be too tired. I couldn't do anything. Now let me look for those courses that I've always wanted to do. So they sat there and began to take courses. And when lockdown was removed, they had certificates. They had knowledge. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Number four. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop going to church. It's a very simple thing, isn't it? But very critical. Just like when we had COVID, you know, and I remember one of those times, a journalist was asking me, and she said, because the government was debating it, you know, and they were debating it and saying, look, I think they also asked me, they were debating it and saying, should we reopen churches and mosques and all of those places? And I said, most definitely. I said, oh, because, yeah, I mean, I remember the lady saying, because I know you, I know your field, and you're a pastor. I said, so what do you say? I said, open it. I said, because what you cannot do, those places will do. The people you have locked down in the house, they are becoming depressed. They are becoming sad. They are giving up on life. I said, you can't do anything about it. Even palliative is not reaching them. I said, but church is distributing palliative effectively. And when they go to church, they are uplifted, even if there was no palliative. When they leave, they are upbeat. They are happy. They are excited. They can face life. I said, you can't do it as government or public health expert. I said, so let those do it that can do it. Are you with me, anybody? I said, are you there? So if you sit back and you say, oh, things are very difficult, I'm not going to church. It's even too expensive. By the time I go to work, I know how much I spent on transport. I'm not going to church. You are putting yourself in trouble. Are you hearing me? Go to Hebrews chapter 10. That very popular scripture. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. You know, because what happens is this. One of the tricks or one of the best ways to kill and destroy a person is to isolate them. And make sure that they are depressed, they are discouraged. Because once you are discouraged, I mean, remember that scripture that says that a man's spirit will sustain his infirmities. The word infirmities doesn't mean sickness, it means weaknesses. Okay? A man's spirit will sustain his weaknesses. But a broken spirit, who can bear? And the moment you take a person out, it's very difficult to leave or get somebody totally discouraged when they are relating with people that can encourage them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it's easy to destroy if you can isolate. Proverbs 18:1 says a man isolates himself and then he gets himself in trouble. Let me read that to you very quickly. We'll come back to Hebrews 10. He said, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. And then he says what? He rages, meaning that what he's doing is against all wise judgment. Are you with me? Your boss will say, I call worry. Don't shake up by Joe. That means what? Not learning how to move together is why the snake dies easily. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Meaning that, you know, when you see snake, when we're young and we just moved to the house, we had everywhere around us almost were bush, was bush all around us. So we had a lot of snakes coming in the compound. I remember us trying to drive in from school and you see snake. You know, it's almost like you're in zoological garden. You see snake, you know, on the fence like that. We've seen snake in the kitchen. We've seen snake in the store. If you go out in the garden, there's a good chance that you meet a snake. So at some point, all of us had our personal sticks. You know, so whenever you want to step outside to play in the compound, you'll grab your own stick with you. Just in case. Just in case. You can imagine.
you came across a snake. But you see, and once you see a snake, you shout, snake, snake, snake. Everybody comes out, they come with their stick, and everybody's beating and killing. Snake, 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 snake. But what if there were 15 snakes? Eh? Uh-huh. So what if you came out and you saw 50 snakes? You say, snake, 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 Abby. Eh? You say, snake, 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 snake. And everybody will take off, snake, snake, snake. Why? Because there are 50. So the fact that it's one snake is why it's going to die. Easy. Are you hearing me? The reason why many believers are dying easily is because they walk alone. You want to do everything alone. Then when things are even difficult, you decide that church is one of those things you will not do. I'm not going. Let me say this to you loud and clear. A good church is not in place because of your offering. Can I have a loud amen? Do you believe it, SG, or not? You know, one of the best examples was COVID again. In lockdown, we had more money. Abi? Madam Treasurer, in lockdown, we had more money. Somebody was telling me, who was that? Somebody said to me, it was one of the, musicians. He said, I couldn't believe it. He said, I've never seen a church that was giving allowance, even though we were not coming to church and we're not playing anything. And we're still sending me money. Are you hearing me? Church is not there for your offering. Offering and all that and tithes, they do help things to be structured. Are you hearing me? But that's not why church is there. God has a purpose for it that is not your money. You know, when Elijah was a great man of God, great man of God. And Elijah went, faced a whole nation, faced the king, Ahab, dared them and prophesied that there will be famine and drought. And there was. 3 years, he said there will be no rain, except by my word. And there was none. No rain for 3 years, 3.5, except by his word. Then one day God said, go and declare an end. And then he told the king, he said, oh, Jacob, let's have a contest. Bring all your false prophets of Baal. Let us all meet on Mount Carmel. So they did. And of course, there was some contest display. Call your God. If your God can send down fire, then that will be the real God. If my God sends down fire, that's a real God. And you follow that God. And he did all of that, and he won, so to speak. Great man of God. But then the king's wife sent a message and said, God help me. If Elijah's head remains on his neck by the end of today, and the prophet, great man of God, who called down fire from heaven, took off running. I mean, so somebody say, fear women, oh. So the man took off running. Ah! Hey, Jezebel sent me, say, hey! He took off running. And when he got away, this is where I'm going. 1 Samuel, I think, is it 1 Samuel 19 or 1 Kings 19? He got away. And he was talking to God. He was discouraged. That's where I'm going. He was discouraged. And he was telling God, said, God, I don't try now. I don't try. All the people in your nation, nobody's following you anymore. He said, even among the prophets, I'm the only one left. Everybody has turned from you. And why am I in trouble? Why am I having to run? They want to kill me. Jezebel sends message. After everything I've done. Are you hearing me? And God began to give him instruction. God said to him, basically the instructions were saying, your ministry and life is over. Just as you have said, you are discouraged, you have given up, you are depressed. God said you are over. So go and anoint so and so person as king. Go and anoint Elisha as prophet in your place, meaning you are done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, but let me tell you that there are 7,000 other people who have not bowed the knee to Baal. That's what struck me. It meant that Elijah was so focused on himself that he could miss out on 7,000. Can I hear you say 7,000? He missed out on 7,000 other believers who believed like him, who worshiped God like him, who refused to bow to Baal like him. Maybe if he had recognized that there were 7,000 other people and he was in touch with those 7,000 other people, he would not be in that state and his life and ministry would not have ended then. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hebrews chapter 10. Time is running and I need to finish this. Hebrews chapter 10. So I'll move a lot faster now. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Very popular scripture, you know it. Okay? Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. So it has always happened. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But I start from verse 25 because that's what we quote often. Okay, which says that don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And that's correct. And it says, do so what? Much more. Can I hear you say much more? Much more as you did see the day approaching. Why? Because verse 24 tells us what happens when you gather together. It says we should consider one another in order to stir up. The old King James says provoke. Can I hear you say provoke? Can I hear you say stir up? So, in order to stir up love and good works. So, there's all the good inside of you, the people that you fellowship with, the fact that you come to church and all of that, will encourage you and ensure that you are not depressed. Are you still there? Kennedy Hagin said, that when you start feeling sorry for yourself, know that the devil is working on you. When you start feeling sorry for yourself, know that the devil is working on you. So it will make you so sorry for yourself that eventually it will push you into depression. You will do things that you should not be doing. Are you still there? One of the deepest times, I won't go into the full story. I've told it many times before. I was in medical school, very discouraged. Things were looking very bleak. But I went to fellowship. I went to fellowship that evening. And he was somebody's testimony, telling about how they were in a difficult situation and said, look, it was like being between the Egyptians and the Red Sea. Said, but God parted the sea. Ah! Just hearing those words, just hearing that God did something for somebody, oh, it lifted me up. I returned to school that night and I was ready. People knew my countenance had changed. I was ready. I was no longer reading. I was depressed. But when I got back, I was ready. I called my friends. Oh, yeah, let's go and read. We're ready for this exam. Let's go. We'll prepare for this thing. Hallelujah. You do yourself a big disfavor when you don't gather and assemble with the brethren as often as you can. Number five. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Somebody might say, how can you say don't stop praying? Have you ever been in a difficult situation before that you couldn't pray? You didn't feel like praying. Anybody, honest people in this place, you didn't feel like praying. The reason why you didn't feel like it is because that was the answer to your problem. And the devil didn't want your problem to end. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so what is good for you? He doesn't want you to do it because he wants you to stay in that situation. In James chapter 5, he said, is anyone having troubles? Let him pray. Are you hearing me? Is anyone in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone in trouble? Let him pray. He didn't say let them pray for him. He said, but let him pray. Because something begins to happen from his inside. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, he was talking about praying in other tongues. He said, when you pray in other tongues, you edify. The word edify means you build yourself up. The word edify means you charge yourself up. The word edify means that you just strengthen yourself. You are like the battery that is about to go flat on your phone. And when that battery is about to go flat, you try to play music, it won't play. You try to take picture, it won't take. You put on video, it won't come on. Because the battery is too low, so things can't be done. It's not functional anymore. But when you plug it in and it begins to charge again, all of a sudden the camera works. Are you hearing what I'm saying? all of a sudden, all of the functions will pick up again. So the devil knows that prayer is like charging. It's like plugging up to be charged. And you will not feel like praying, but you can't stop praying. Can I have an amen? 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, there are many reasons why people don't pray. You know, when there's trouble, you're afraid. Whatever the situation is, you're afraid, you are discouraged, you are anxious. But God tells you that those are all indications for prayer. They're all indications for prayer. So when you're afraid, what time I am afraid? The psalmist said in Psalm 56 and verse 3, he said, I will trust in the Lord. So when you are afraid, that's the time to go to God. Go to God, dedicate even more time than you used to, and go to Him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you are anxious, what does tomorrow hold? He said, be anxious for nothing. But through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. So he's saying anxiety is an indication for more prayer. Are you with me? So all of those feelings that make you not pray, you wake up in the morning, you're just sitting there and looking. Those are actual indications to get on your knees and start praying the more. Those are indications. Someone said, about what throughout the day I'm feeling anxious. Then throughout the day, be praying. Are you with me? Even if you made mistakes. This is the mistake I made. I'm the one who caused it. So where are you going to go? Who is going to fix it? Abi, who will fix it for you? The children of Israel made a mistake. They asked God for a king. They asked God for a king. Said, we want a king. They didn't understand what it really meant. They said, we want a king like all the other people. So even Samuel was very upset. And God said, no. Don't take it personal, Samuel. He said, it's not you they rejected, it's me. God was saying, I was their king. And they said, no, we want to be like other people. Make us a king. He said, so it's me that they told me to get out. And the day that Saul was being anointed and made king, the people realized what they had done. They were afraid that, we have missed it. Oh my God, we have missed it. And God said to Samuel, Samuel said to them, he said, yes, now you have made a mistake. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. He said, yes, you have made a mistake. He said, but don't run away from God. He said, run to God instead. You have made a mistake. He said, but run to God, even with your mistake. He said, otherwise, you will run to the things that cannot profit you. Meaning, if you don't go to God, who will you go to? I made a mistake. I have trouble. I can't go. If you don't go to God, who will you go to? Who can fix it for you? What answers do you have elsewhere? So, yes, you are in a mess, but only God can fix the mess the way it needs to be fixed. Can I have an amen? 1 Peter chapter 4, have you found it? Verse 7. It said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore means because of this. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, because the end is at hand, be serious. Can I hear you say, be serious? Look at your neighbor. Help me preach it to them. Say, be serious. So. He said, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. I like the word, and maybe again sometime in teaching prayer, we will settle on the word watchful. We'll settle on just watchful. Because one of the things that happens in the place of prayer is that you see things that you won't have seen. And you will see things the way you would not have seen them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will see things and you can discern them properly. First, you can see things that are even to come. John chapter 16 tells us that, verse 13. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth and he will show you things that are yet to come. So you will see things that are yet to come. But even without seeing things that are yet to come, you will see things and be able to interpret situations.
you will know what to do. You are watchful. There are too many people who are reacting in the natural. You react to everything in the natural. Something is said, something is done. You react to everything in the natural, but you should stay on your knees, and on your knees, God will show you. This is the response you ought to give. You are watchful. Habakkuk was saying, he said, I will stay upon the rampant and to see what he will say to me. To see what he would say to me. So there is something that happens when you wait upon God that you can see better than you could have. Are you hearing me? This is not the time to play around. You know, this is not the time to wake up and just yawn. You yawn, you say, God bless me. God bless my wife. God bless my children. God bless our dog. In Jesus' name, amen. Then you do the sign of the cross and you say, I have prayed. And you step out of your house. Are you still there? You know, there are many things you can tell. Oh, my boss has called me one day. Say, this person, he called me. And he reported you. No, I think he sent a message. He reported you, blah, 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 blah. He said this, he said that, he said this. So I was laughing. And he said, okay, what's going on? I said, sir, the real reason is angry. He has not told you. I said, he hasn't told you. I said, this is the real thing that is making him angry. Something happened some time ago, and he wanted some money, and I did not approve it. I said, that's why he's angry. Man said, eh? I said, yes. So he called the man and talked to him a little bit. Then he called me back. He said, you are correct. He said, when he talked like this, he reached that matter. And when he reached that one, you know, you can tell when that is the real thing that is paining the person. He said, so what you said is the correct thing. I mean, I was just laughing because I knew that all this other talk is all a lie. It's just a distraction. I knew what the real issue was, and I wasn't moved because I knew I did the right thing. Are you there? I said, are you there? Don't stop walking in love. 1 Peter chapter 4, are you still there? So one thing he told us, he said, at the end of all things, number one, don't stop praying. He said, rather be serious and watchful in your prayer. Let me say this, that when you warn people, when you say to somebody, don't be weary in well-doing, it means that you already are telling the person that there will be indications or things that will want to make you weary. That's what it means. That's what it implies. Are you hearing me? So if I said to you, go to Bagada now, and I say, don't stop on the way, oh. As you go to Bagada, don't stop on the way. As you go to Bagada, don't stop on the way. What does it mean? It means there is a very good chance that you will have reasons to stop on the way. So when you are going on the way and you see certain things that want you to stop on the way, you should be remembering, don't stop on the way. He has already told me. He didn't tell me exactly what will be there on the way, but he has known that something will be on my way. And therefore, he has warned me that I should not stop on the way. Are you still with me? So it says from verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Then verse 8. He said, and above all things. Can I hear you say above all things? Wow. It means even above the prayer. Wow. Can I hear you say wow? It means even above the prayer. Because if you say, therefore, be watchful, serious and watchful in your prayer, then you now say, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another, verse 9, without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of a manifold grace of God. But again, I emphasize verse 8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. It's what the Yorubas will call what? Ifegbigbono. Abi? Have fervent love. Abi, is that not Ifegbigbono? Have fervent love one for another. Now, what it implies also to me straight away is that there will be a lot of offenses as we go to the end. Abi? That's what it implies to me. Because if he says to me, the end is near, therefore be serious with your prayer, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Why? He said, because love will cover a multitude of sins or wrongs. It means that as you go to the end, there will be a multitude of wrongs and offenses. Are you hearing me? But love is the answer. Why? Because even your prayers will be annulled without your walking in love. Mark 11 tells you that, doesn't it? It says, therefore, whatsoever you desire, verse 24, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. He said, and verse 25, when you bring your gift to the altar, and there, remember that your brother has aught against you. I'm quoting King James, has aught against you, or has something small against you, because that's what aught implies. Are you hearing me? At the altar, so the altar of your prayer, you came, he said, and you remember your brother has aught against you. Please stop and note. Number one, he says he has something small against you. Number two, he says he has it against you, not you against him. So explain and defend it all you want. It's not my fault. I wasn't wrong. He said he has against you. The Bible says, leave your gift there at the altar and first be reconciled to your brother. Are you with me? As we approach the end, there will be a multitude of offenses and wrongs. But make up your mind, you will never stop walking in love. Are you hearing me? That you will always be known for your love walk. Why? Because that means that you will always have God with you. Because God is love. So there's no, you give me gas, I give you booze. I don't even know what's wrong with everybody. They think I'm a fool. But I will show them that I am not a fool. You just became a fool. Are you hearing me? Because your biggest source of strength, you have just relinquished it to prove a point to the people. Are you with me? Lastly, let me close on this. Don't stop sharing the gospel with people. Don't stop sharing the gospel with people. Have you ever thought to yourself, why am I like this? Is your life better than it would have been without Christ or than it was without Christ? Anybody? Is your life better in Christ than it was without him? There's no answer. Huh? If you are convinced, then you need to say to yourself, this that I have, I need to share with others. And much more, because we are approaching the end. Are you still there? Much more because we are approaching the end. And people will die. And when they die, the question will be, where are they gone to? So seize every opportunity now to tell people about the afterlife. That there is an afterlife. When they also look at you and they ask you questions, why are you like this? How come things are so difficult and yet you are so confident? Don't say, hey, even me, I don't know. Tell them, because I trust in God. Are you hearing me, anybody? Use whatever platform, whatever opportunity you have to share the gospel. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let people know this. That's the source of your strength. Let them know that this is why you are confident. Let them know that that's why you are not afraid. Let them know that even though they are all anxious, you are not talking anxiously because of your faith in God. You know, it's even more baffling when they then ask you, okay, so what's your plan? You say, I don't really know. But I know that things will be fine. They say, what kind of talk is this one? You don't know, but you know. You say, yeah, I don't know what's in the future, but I know who owns the future. Are you still with me? I don't know the future, but if you were here, we're praying with Psalm 37, verse 23. It said, the steps of a good man or a godly man are ordered by the Lord. And verse 24 says, though he may stumble, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him. The NLT says that the Lord directs the steps of the godly, and he busies himself with every detail of his life. God pays attention to every detail of my life. There are many things I don't know. There are many things I want. When is he coming? I don't know. How is he coming? I don't know. But I'm confident. I'm relaxed. Why? Because God has every detail of my life in his hand, and he's watching my every step and guiding it. Are you with me? It says in verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 3, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers, that is people who will be yimuing. Scoffers is yimuis, yimu experts. You know yimu? Eh? Yimu is... Sorry, I don't know English for it, but other than scoffer, yimu. Eh? Ska. Cowboy. You know those people shouldn't hear you. Hallelujah. So it says that yimui will come in the last days. They will walk according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? All these people have been preaching since. They say he's coming, where? They said, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, meaning God is timeless. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hear this. How many people wish that God just closed it all up, maybe this week, and raptured all of us to heaven? How many people wish we could just be raptured and, you know, and we all just go to heaven this week and say, yeah, that's it, we're done. And now we just go to the street of gold. Now we'll just be singing in God's presence, isn't it? And there'll be no weeping, no sorrowing, no. If you want it to be so, preach the gospel. The Bible says the only reason why God is keeping things as long as he's keeping them is because he is trying to give more time so that none will perish. And the only way the people won't perish, he said, how would they believe except there be a preacher? Is that somebody has to tell them, somebody has to preach. So use every opportunity to tell people, and thereby you hasten the return of the Lord. Are you still there? And we ensure, that we all can leave, amen, and go to heaven, but not only so, you ensure that all of those people and your loved ones and your friends will be in heaven with you. Hallelujah. So, as we come to these difficult times, don't stop doing these seven things. Don't stop giving thanks. Don't stop giving in itself. Don't stop investing. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop praying. Don't stop walking in love, and don't stop sharing the gospel. Let's stand on our feet. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I call to thee.
Take your time and just pray about the things you've heard.
Most gracious Lord, no tenderness like thine, and peace of
God. Upon that now causes a healing and a cure in the name of Jesus. Someone's also been very anxious. You have a particular strong need this week, and God says if you just rest, there remains a rest yet for the people of God. He says if you just rest and trust him with it, he's gone ahead of you and you'll be seriously surprised at how he will handle that need this week. You'll be seriously surprised. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. And Lord, I pray for every need represented here this morning. Physical, material, whatever, spiritual. I pray that you are the Lord that answers prayers. The God that answers by fire. Let your miracle hand touch that one, that man, that woman, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for doing that which only you can do. And if you're here this morning, you need to make peace with God. Please, this is a good time to do so. You need to make peace with God. You are never been born again. Or you have been born again, but you knew that you walked away from God. Somebody said, how do I know that this applies to me? Your heart is racing. Every time you hear an altar call being given like this, your heart is racing. Because you know something is wrong. You know that you are not where you should be with God. Then you should pray this prayer, and the peace of God will guard your heart. After that, you know that you are in a good place with God. If you need to do that right now, make peace with God this morning. Put your hand on your chest, whether you are here, whether you are online, makes no difference. God is where you are. Just put your hand on your chest right where you are and just tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm here this morning. I call upon you. I dedicate my life to you. Thank you for what you did. You gave your life for me. Now I give mine back in return. I commit to this, to love, to serve, and to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone who spread that, whether here, whether online. Thank you because you drew them, you saved them. And thank you because you will keep them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Most High. Because even on that day, they will be presented whole, spirit, soul, and body in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.